public hearings first, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
You guys hear us okay?
We're muted.
Yeah, we can't hear you guys.
Do we have to hit the button?
He got
here?
It.
Right here?
Now they can.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got us now? Okay. So, just so everyone's aware, tonight we actually have a public hearing before we start our planning commission meeting.
Okay.
So, we are going to start with that public hearing, which is to talk about the cul-de-sac ordinance changes.
All right.
And once again, we have no public here to have a public hearing. So just for the record, we're just going to read through what the changes are going to be that we're submitting to the town council, and then have a vote regarding moving that to the town council for their vote on those changes. So, and then once we do that, we'll close that public meeting and we'll go ahead and start the planning commission meeting at that point.
All right.
So, sorry that you caught us on a day where you have to listen to a little bit of work, you know, before we get into the normal.
Yes,
so.
No problem.
Okay. We are going to start the public hearing on the ordinance for the subdivision ordinance and the land management and construction standards. What we are doing here is updating the cul-de-sac ordinance that is listed as item J underneath the street section. What that will be updated to, and I'm just going to read this, is J will be amended to be cul-de-sacs, in parentheses, and turnaround. Each cul-de-sac shall have a minimum right-of-way of 57 feet and must be terminated in a turnaround with a diameter of not less than 96 feet. Surface water must drain away from the turnaround. However, when drainage cannot be achieved along the street due to grade constraints, necessary catch basins and drainage easements shall be provided. Cul-de-sacs shall have a maximum length of 500 feet as approved by the town council. Number one, subsection. Dead-end fire apparatus access roads longer than 150 feet shall comply with width and turnaround provisions in accordance with Table J1. Table J1 is got three items. Length is 0 to 50 feet, has to have a right-of-way width with rural residential roadways of a minimum of 57 feet. And the surface roadways width with rural residential roadways is 24 feet. Turnaround requirements, none are required for 0 to 150 feet. For the length of 151 to 500 feet, it is the same distances or feet for both of those and a 96-foot diameter cul-de-sac in accordance with Figure J1. And then anything over 500 feet requires special approval. And then Figure J1 is a diagram that is contained within the document, showing the lollipop style cul-de-sac, as we refer to it, and what those diameters are. Number two, subsection under cul-de-sacs, is temporary cul-de-sacs, where a street is intended to be extended in the future but currently terminates due to undeveloped adjacent property, a temporary cul-de-sac may be permitted under the following conditions. A, temporary cul-de-sac shall meet the same dimensional requirements as a permanent cul-de-sac, including a minimum 96-foot turnaround diameter and appropriate surface drainage. B, the right-of-way and improvements for the turnaround shall be constructed to public street standards unless otherwise approved by the town engineer. C, A note shall be placed on the final plat and recorded indicating that the cul-de-sac is temporary and may be removed or modified upon future extension of the roadway. D. The design shall provide for the removal or conversion of the cul-de-sac without adversely affecting adjacent lots, drainage, or utility connections. E. A temporary easement may be required to ensure access and maintenance until the street is extended. F. Note, temporary cul-de-sacs shall not be used as a justification for exceeding the maximum 500-foot dead-end length unless approved by the town council. Number 3, subsection. Temporary cul-de-sacs must meet current Utah State Fire Code standards. Then there's also a full drawing of the cul-de-sac. And showing a 48-foot radius to the inside of the cul-de-sac curb and gutter, if it's there, and a radius of 58 feet 6 inches to the outside for the
right-of-way.
For the right-of-way on the outside of it, matching the description that we just read. Now, it should be noted that in the subdivision ordinance, it has some numbering that has to be renumbered to match where there was inadvertently numbered A through I, and then the next page took it to A through D again. And those should be done, that additional page should be J through M. Is that right? J through M or N?
I don't know on the end, but yeah, starting with J.
Starting with J instead of starting over at A. So that will be amended as well as part of this. Anybody have any questions regarding anything that we've talked about so far? Devin, you good?
Good.
Since you wrote most of that, I hope so. Okay. At this point, I would take a motion. Somebody wants to tackle that motion?
I'll make a motion that we accept the changes as proposed for the cul-de-sac definitions in the subdivision ordinance.
And land management
and
construction standards.
And the land use ordinance construction standards.
It's got them listed right here in the public hearing sections right there.
So that motion should reference ordinance 2024-02, the subdivision ordinance, accept the changes for the new cul-de-sac definitions, as well as ordinance 2025-01, land management and construction standards.
Okay, we have a motion.
I'll second it.
It has been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion passes. Thank you. I would now take a motion to close the public hearing.
I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
We have a motion to close the public hearing, and it has been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Okay. We will now move on to our Planning Commission meeting. Following our agenda for the Planning Commission meeting, we begin with roll call. So those in attendance tonight at the meeting are John Chartier, Devin Squires via Zoom, and Kelvin Johns is here in person. We excuse Lenny Hartle and Wade Ingram, as they were not able to attend. Item B under Section 2 there is approval of minutes from the previous meeting. Has everybody had a chance to read through those?
Yeah, I did.
And if so, does anybody have any changes? Okay, Devin says no.
I didn't have any.
I don't have any.
Okay. If that's the case, I would accept a motion on the minutes?
Make a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
I'll second.
So we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from last meeting as published. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, motion passes. Okay, on to our next item on the agenda is appointment. We have an appointment with the ACES.
Yes.
So basically what's stated here is that you're planning to build a new home on the parcel noted on the county records as 2-N11-1, which is 2.1 acres, temporarily retaining the existing single-wide manufactured home, classifying the current home as an accessory apartment under the land use ordinance, submitting a conditional use permit for accessory apartment approval, exploring a possible exemption for certain requirements to be considered by the Board of Adjustments, and then seeking Planning Commission guidance on how to proceed. Is that kind of, I guess, that sums it up pretty good?
Yes. Yes, it does.
It's not necessarily a new home. It's going to be a manufactured home.
Okay.
Put on there. We're going to get the footers and everything, but yeah.
Okay.
It's a manufactured home.
So today, what is on the lot today?
So on the lot today, we have the mobile home that's up on the corner. I do have a couple of trailers that's sitting on the lot. I have a couple of the trailers. There's two sheds on the property also, storage sheds. That's what's on there currently.
But what's the address of this?
391 East between 100 North and 200 North. I have that whole type of block. The one directly across south from Tina's.
Okay. So is there? So. I'm
sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, basically, what our plan is to move the manufactured home onto the property now, basically as possible. I do have a rancher that's living in the smaller trailer that's on the 100 North end of the property, and he'll continue to live there until we move up there permanently. Because right now we reside in Vegas. But we want to put the home there, get it ready for our retirement, so we don't have to worry about doing that after we retire, if that makes sense. And then we'll just use that home as a vacation home, a couple of weeks during the summer, deer hunts, that kind of thing.
Then when we move there, the rental will be gone, and we are going to, as of now, the plan is to remove the mobile home off the property and the existing old house behind it. Will be removed at that time.
So today there is both a house and a rental single wide that's on there?
Yeah, it used to be a house. It's kind of a storage shed now. It's non-livable.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I thought this was a different property. Where is it?
Right in front of Tina's house, Tina Mitchell's house.
Yeah, in front of Tina's. Like over here?
Yeah,
right there. Yeah, so it's all the way through both sides. It goes all across. It takes both from street to street.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was thinking it was a different property. Here's Tina.
Okay.
And then they're across this way to the
south.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this whole
the trailer that's there existing. This is where their fifth wheel and stuff is, right in front of Tina's house. So they want to build the manufactured here, the new one. This is the one that's existing.
Yeah, we would like to put the manufactured home actually where the fifth wheel is, and then the fifth wheel will be gone.
Okay.
At that point.
So what's the plan? You have a renter in the one that's up by the corner? The little trailer by the
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I think what we're being asked to do is consider the rental up on the corner as an accessory dwelling unit, so that they can start construction of the primary on the north half of that lot across from Tina.
Correct.
So you want to keep the trailer that the renter's in right now, keep that after you get your home in there and use it as an accessory?
Yeah, it becomes accessory. What we did, what the goal is to be able to get this all established, everything done in the next few years, and then when I do retire, I'll move it up. So we would come up, right now we come up about 3 weeks out of the year and then a few weekends just to try to help take care of the property and clean it. That's where we're going to stay with that until the point of retirement, and then we will move up full time. And at that point, John, that lives in the trailer on the corner, he's going to have to leave, and then we're going to take that trailer and old house out and finish cleaning up the other half. So after my retirement, the only thing that will be there is that manufactured home that.
So what,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so what we talked about, at least when Tina and I talked about it, is that if we're going to consider the trailer that people are living in today as the accessory dwelling unit, it has to meet the standards for the accessory dwelling unit, which has like some parking areas and pavement and things like that that it doesn't meet today. And that's where the question is then, where it brought up in here, going to the Board of Adjustments.
But this is temporary.
It's temporary. It's not intended at this point to be a long-term solution, only until you guys move up. And what's your anticipated time frame for that?
We're looking at 5 years. That's my time frame. We'll be all done and move, and then there will not be anybody else up on the other property.
And so you plan to put in a new septic as well for the.
So on the property now, back in the early 90s, there was a septic system installed because at one point it was okay to put another mobile home on there, which was set and then removed because it was never used. My in-laws at home that were purchasing the property from had that set up. So we've already contacted the health department, and working with them, we need to just verify the size of the tank, and then we'll move forward with the health department. It's a new septic. It's existing, but it's never been used.
Okay, so it's existing on that lower half of the property?
On the lower half, yes.
Okay.
What's the lower half, the north or the south?
The north end.
The north end.
The north end.
Sorry.
All right.
Sorry, yeah, it does slope. It does slope a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't know.
No, you're right. We need to clarify
that. The north end.
I should say the north end, correct. The north end in front of Venus.
Yeah, so that would be required as approval from the health department to get your building permit to do the house, the manufactured home.
We've already been in contact with the health department.
Good.
They walked us through what they need from us. So I will be back up there the week of the 6th of October, that whole week. So at that point, I'm going to see if I can find the markings on the tank. They can tell me where they should be. That's all they need to verify. If not, it's not a large enough tank, then I have to add a secondary tank to it. He says that he can add a 500 gallon tank if need be, if it's not a 1,000 gallon tank existing now. So he just needs proof.
When do you anticipate having the manufactured home on there?
Well, that's what we're shooting for, is like 6 months or so. It depends on how long it takes for we get the foundation work done on it and things like that. We've already got the house is in Richfield now. It's pretty much locked up. All we're just waiting for is the okay basically from you, and then move forward with the health department and then my building permit. We've actually talked to the county about the building permit as soon as we get our paperwork from Annabella, then they will issue our building permit.
So So I know one thing that will be required is a drawing. We don't have a drawing yet, correct?
Exactly. And I apologize for that. When I come up on the 6th,
okay,
I will lay it all out and give you the drawing.
Okay.
And I tried to make a drawing here, but I couldn't remember all the exact figures, numbers on the
page. Sure.
So I'll redo that.
That's fine.
That's not a problem.
Yeah, that's fine. So I think the intention here is, again, that north side of the lot to have the manufactured home installed with that septic system that's existing or that may need to be not modified with whatever the outcome of that is. And then they're asking to have the accessory dwelling unit, now that trailer that's there, be considered an accessory dwelling unit, which I don't know that. I mean, we've got a house there that's not livable and the trailer there already.
Yes.
Because right behind that trailer, to the north of that trailer,
is the old
house.
Okay.
And that old house is not livable. It's being used as a storage shed more than anything else, is what they just said. And then the plan long term is to remove both the trailer and the house.
Correct. Yes.
And again, that would be within the next 5 years.
Yes, that is the plan as of today. Yes, sir. Yes. That's our goal. So my actual goal is to someday, if things we can get done, of course we get enough moisture up there, that the rest of the north end, where the trailer and stuff is on the south, I want to put a pasture or something in there so it's all cleaned up and a lot easier to take care of. That's my end goal.
Okay.
And believe me, I don't want that stuff there any more than anybody else.
So did Tina give you a list of everything that's required for an accessory apartment?
Not for the accessory apartment. She just gave me a list of the needed after the conditional use permit is approved. And I can draft that list.
Isn't it on the website? The town website?
Yeah, I'm looking
at it. Yeah, I believe it is.
So there's a list of requirements, and one of them is kind of left to interpretation. Accessory apartment shall be permitted only in the instance where one of the dwellings is owner-occupied. It doesn't say full-time occupied.
It does not say full-time
occupied.
Okay,
that works. Yeah, because we'll be the only ones there at the new house.
So they're not going to be renting the house out.
Correct.
And so the house itself, even though they're not there full time, that's the intention.
Mm-hmm.
It's owner occupied. It's they're not renting that to, so they don't have two renters basically on the same property.
Correct. That will guarantee that will never happen.
Okay.
I don't even want to enter in there anyway, Mike.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
We're just trying to figure out a way to get everything set up, paid for, done before I retire the next 4 or 5 years. That's our goal.
So yeah, just I think John brings up a good point though that that you need to be aware of that you can't rent both out. And I know you don't intend to, right, at the moment, but even in the future, that you have to reside in one of those two.
Understood. Exactly. Yeah. Understood.
And then we've got a requirement for off-street parking for at least 3 parking spaces that shall be paved with concrete, asphalt, masonry, or concrete pavers.
And that's for the accessory dwelling unit. So for reclassifying the trailer as the accessory dwelling unit, that is one of the requirements. And so that's where we're saying you don't have that today.
Nothing.
And that's where the question would be, is if that would, since it's again, a temporary.
Yeah.
Would we suggest that it would then go to the Board of Adjustments for approval.
And then it would be approval conditioned on removal within whatever 5 years or when they move down full time.
Yeah. Would that be up to the Board of Adjustments to make those decisions?
Or can this commission do it with a conditional use permit?
With that as the condition?
Yeah. Because when we get into Board of Adjustments, it's kind of like, okay, we give variance in quotes here, variance to something because that property doesn't
conform.
It has something unique to it that doesn't allow them to use it in that way that everyone else can use it in that way.
Okay. So you're suggesting that we do approve this potentially with a time frame of when, of how long that's approved for?
I would put that out there and ask if that's possible for the Planning Commission to do that.
I would think so, with it being temporary.
I think we've done it before.
Because you can have a temporary fifth wheel or whatever to live in while you build a home.
Yeah, and we define that as 1 year.
Yeah. So this is longer, but it's still temporary.
Devin, any comments?
The difference there is that there's a renter rather than the owners living in it.
It is a difference in that aspect, I agree. But it's also a building that's already there versus a trailer.
The apartment works as a way of dealing with this. And then the question would be whether we can approve it or the Board of Adjustments. I think I'm not reading anything in here that says that we couldn't approve it.
With that condition.
So we would have to have the complete application with the measurements and everything.
Yes, before we could approve it. I agree.
Yes.
So when you're in town, you can come to any of the four of us. You need two signatures before you can go over to the county. But when you get that drawing, when you have the drawing, then you could come to any of the four of us to get a signature with the drawing.
And if you're not in town, you don't have to drive up. You can send us an email and get it signed. So
I'm coming up to Hot Elk. So I'll be there.
And then the conditional use permit also needs to be, well, we've kind of got it right here, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And do we have all the signatures required, or do we have any other? Because it's anybody that's within any part of your property within 300 feet. So not just the front corner, it'd be across the street to all of the different directions around that.
So there were only two neighbors that we couldn't get signatures from, and that was John, that is on that one corner, and then the Mathis.
And they're in northern Utah?
And we left a phone message for Wendy Mathis and never got a call back, and were never able to get a hold of John Smith. But those were the only two people that we tried to contact and weren't able to.
Yeah, this is this from right across the road, right?
It's
yeah.
The one right here where they moved the other one's back there by Chris. John Smith right here. And then did you get Chris's signature?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
On the last.
Yeah, I think he called me.
So if I could just back up the map we were talking about, we were talking building permit, but we want a map to show everything.
The property.
The whole
yes.
property and how big the accessory apartment is. There is a size minimum and maximum in the ordinance for that.
Would you know what the size of that trailer is? Isn't it a single wide?
It's a single wide. but I'm not sure.
Because we it needs the ordinance says it has to be between 600 and 1,000 square feet, right?
650.
It's larger.
650.
It's larger than that. It's a three-bedroom.
It's a 14 by 70 foot.
14 by 70.
But it's a three-bedroom, two baths, or a bath and a half.
Yeah, it means the requirement. It'll be like 980.
So it means it's just under the requirement then.
Mm-hmm.
Barely.
I did it longhand, Devin. You are fast.
Yeah, he's very smart.
I have my book on calculator, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's 980.
So it would mm-hmm. it would fall into that category without an exception. Yeah. But you'd want to just call out what those measurements are on your drawing as well, as you
sure,
as you lay all that out.
You probably already have. You go to our website and go to Land Use Ordinance.
Uh-huh.
And 6-804 talks about site plan, like what you have to have drawn up, just showing it says accurate to scale, property lines, dimensions, location of all existing buildings, location of existing and proposed entrances, and the location of parking.
Okay.
So that's 6-805, 804, and 805. So those are the requirements.
Both septic tanks located on this.
If you could show both septic tanks too, as much.
One I can for sure. The other one will be really close, but I don't have the exact measurement. I can give you within probably 10 feet in all directions of where it's at.
That'd be great if you could put what you know on there.
Yeah, I can do that.
I don't know if I see anything else.
Right, open them down. Both septic tanks. Okay, you've got that.
Both
septic tanks. Okay.
And you
parking locations.
Yeah, parking. So that's a question when we do all this. My parking, it's going to have probably about a 40-foot drive that goes going to go in behind the new house. Does it need to be concrete, pavers?
As crazy as it sounds, it's the accessory dwelling that we're talking about, not the primary.
Okay, I thought it was, but I just wanted to clarify that I don't need to put in a full-blown cement driveway all the way back at this time.
A dirt road, so I can't.
Yeah, we just need to make sure that your accessory dwelling unit it's being reclassified as that it has off-street parking. You know.
We would just have to do as a planning commission an exception for the duration of it.
Yes.
And you're not being waived.
Yes, those would be the two things, particularly that would have to be part of what we would approve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I'd really kind of like hate to put in a cement drive or whatever than just in a couple of years tear it all out.
The worst part of all of it is tearing it out.
So we still need you to get the signatures. Now, I would suggest if you can't get a hold of them on the phone, send them a letter. You know, or try to set something up when you're up here that you can swing by and get signatures potentially from John Smith, since they're right there across the street. And who was the other one that we were missing? Oh,
Mathis.
The Mathis.
Mathis. And they're in northern Utah, I believe.
And we would take any kind of response, like if you were able to get an email response from them that you could attach that says that they're okay with it, versus a signature, we could take that. Again, you may have to send them a letter to get that. I don't know. But
if they can they document their attempts, and then is there a certain point where we'll accept their attempts? If they can't get a hold of them, right?
Yeah. Just document what you're trying to do to get a hold of them. I realize that sometimes people don't respond.
If you run into obstacles, I can try and help you with that. I can try and reach out to them as well. So.
Okay. So yeah, just let Tina and Angel know if you know kind of what you're doing, and Angel can reach back out and see if she can get them to acknowledge via email or what have you that they're okay with it. Ultimately, we just want them to be notified of the changes.
Sure, I understand.
And that I think that's the nature of this is whether they sign or not, but at least they get notified of what's going on.
Okay.
So I have another question for you. If we do this as a conditional use, or put conditions on this and do a conditional use permit, and it's temporary, we can't very well say until Mr. AC retires and comes up, or we'd probably be looking at putting a timeline on it. And so do we say 4 years? Do we...
And then it would have to come back and be addressed again if it expires.
Yeah, right. I guess we do it that way.
Because, like, as of today, you know, I'm 60 by 65. I'm trying to retire at 65. So that's why we're on the 5 year.
So. All right. So if we did it as a conditional use permit, we'd likely say 5 years.
Okay.
And then at the end of that 5 years, if we'd have to readdress everything if things haven't happened, right?
So yeah. So not to be as far as I can off, but in 5 years I'll take John out and get the fire department to do a practice run.
Yeah, I guess the other option is 5 years you come in compliance, you don't have to deal with it, right? You just don't have a running right. Department, you're not from the
job. Right, and that's the thing, we're setting it at 5 years, but you know, there's always a chance it might be 2 years if we move, and then we'll start turning the property off, get John out of there, because once we're there, John won't be there.
Yeah.
There will only be one primary.
I'm selfish, I don't want nobody else living on the property.
Okay. Yeah. That just since we're giving you the waiver, if you will, because it's a temporary setup. That's the reason we need to put a time frame on it.
Yes,
I'm
still 100%.
I just want to make a point. There's two actions here. One of them is the conditional use permit for the accessory dwelling for the accessory apartment. And the other one would be the building permit for the primary structure.
And
so we'll need an application for both of them.
Yeah, and today we have the application for the conditional use, but we don't have the full documentation, so we're not really going to be addressing the building permit thing at this point.
Either one of them. In order for us to address the conditional use, yeah, we have to have the map as well.
We have to have that. Okay. I get what you're saying.
The documentation overlaps, but it's two separate applications.
So to move forward right now, what do I need? I need the map. That's the next step in line. And what else do I need?
The signatures are acknowledgement, John, and the map.
Okay.
And the septic tank. Approved.
Yeah, and I'll have all that. Yeah, I'll have the septic tanks, the layout. I'll have all that stuff.
Yeah. And then, as far as I understand, it's the map and then the signatures for the accessory department.
Yes.
Okay. Separately, you'll need to fill out a building permit, and it will also include that map and the septic design.
Okay. Understood.
So you need
basically two maps.
Yeah, it's the same map.
You'll have two copies of it.
The same map attached to each one. So at this point, I don't think there's anything other than the guidance we're giving you. There's nothing for us to necessarily vote on this evening until we get that documentation. Then we would address it at the next meeting that we have. But in the meantime, you can get signatures to go over and get your building permit stuff once you have your drawings and you filled out the application for
the building permit.
For the building permit, yeah.
Okay.
All that on the county website.
Yes. I think there's actually a link to it on
I think we have our own page for the building permit on ours that you would get two signatures from us. And then
like I said, we've already contacted the county, and I can't remember the lady's name, but she said no problem. As soon as we get signed document from you, the city of Annaba, then they don't have a problem. We've already set that one up. We're just waiting to get the okay to do it.
And then we'd also say welcome back to the valley.
Oh, I can't wait, believe me. Yeah, I grew up in Central, but
yeah,
kind of NFL stuff.
We played sports against each other growing up, so yes.
Yep.
I recognize the name.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I hope it's in a good way.
Well, you were in Central, you know, so.
Yep. Oh, yeah, so I mean.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
And I was in Richfield at the time, so I'm not sure how friendly things got, so.
There was a couple of ups and downs once in a while. It's all good, though. That's home.
Yeah.
Severe Valley is home.
Yep.
So I will, the week of the 6th, between somewhere 7th and 8th, I should have everything turned in that you need.
Okay.
And move forward with that.
Sounds good. Anybody else have any comments or anything?
No.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
The date for the next meeting? That
it will be the 4th. The fourth, right, Monday?
Yeah, the fourth Monday.
The fourth Monday of next month, of October.
Okay. All right. Tano keeps us up to date anyway. She's really good at that, so.
Yes, she is.
She's on top of it.
Yep. So, all right.
It's the 27th.
27th is what Angel just told me.
Okay.
We will not be in costumes, though.
Aww.
You can if you want to.
No Halloween stuff?
No Halloween costumes, no.
Okay, I'm good.
Anybody else?
Okay, well, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for your time.
You bet. Okay, moving on.
Should we turn them off?
They
got it. We turned Devin off too.
Sorry, Devin.
So we just have a couple more items here. Consideration discussion of proposed amendments to the land use ordinance. I think that is in reference to comments that I believe I talked to Tyler earlier today. Devin, you made comments.
I started. Yeah. I'm still going to go through more.
I told him we wouldn't go over it tonight, so you need to come tonight. But that hopefully people will continue and we can finish up. He'll make little modifications and then he'll bring a proposed, you know, copy that we can all kind of go over next month and go from there. Does that sound good to everybody? Okay.
Did I get the shoulder drainage section added? Do you know?
I don't.
There was something added. I haven't really looked at it close, but there was something added.
If you look at it,
look at that. Good.
Take a look at it and see if you want additional wording in there or what have you, then we just need to put it in there. I also asked him to go in and compare the subdivision ordinance and the construction standards to make sure that they lined up with each other. And he said he would go in and do a side-by-side kind of comparison to make sure we don't have one arguing with the other one.
Good. Okay.
So, but that we'll do that next month. Next is review current conditional use permits. Do we have any? That's just a building permit, though, right?
I think those were just building permits.
Okay.
So we're not acting on the one conditional use permit yet.
No.
Building permit.
Looks like you're getting new roof.
I did, yes.
It's done.
She was done in a day and a half.
That's usually what happens. We see them after the fact on those.
I know, I kept waiting for it.
Hey!
Tell my insurance. You have to talk to my insurance.
Take those shingles off.
So let's review the building permits then. The first one that I see here is a garage.
Proposed shed, 16 by 32.
So this is the Grovers, right? 351 East, 320 North.
Yeah.
It's not the Home Depot one they're going to have delivered, right? Like a tough shed?
That's what it said on there. It was Home Depot, yeah.
Yeah, 16 by 32.
So. And it shows offsets from the back property line is 10 feet, side property line 10 feet.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't show where their septic and drain field is, but we'll assume they know where that is.
I believe I brought that up to them when I talked to them.
It's not very likely that it'd be in that corner, though. It's kind of far
away. Yeah, not likely for brand new. I don't know what the rest of the backyard looks like, but it looks like they have a lot of space for replacement area. I don't see any issues with that one.
Okay. You got any questions, Devin?
No, I was good with that.
Okay. That's the... And then we've got the couple re-roofs there. I don't think there's anything to talk about on those.
Mm-hmm. I'll make a motion to approve the building permits as presented tonight.
You have a motion?
I'll second.
So we have a motion and a second to approve the building permits that are contained. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Is there any other business anybody has that they need to, that they feel we need to talk about? The only business I have with you, Devin, is I need to talk to you about your solar.
Oh.
If not, then I'd accept a motion to adjourn. You guys want to hang out longer?
I was going to say.
I'm hungry. I got to go eat.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All in favor?
All right.
Motion passes.
Thanks, Devin, for...
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Devin.
Tuning in.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay, yeah. Go get something to eat. Yeah, I went over to the county and talked to him about solar.
Thank you.
I'm going to do that on my house.
Thank you, Kelvin.
And I've got to put together a few things for him.